Last week we talked about the word begotten in the Nicene Creed, and we learned how it described, as best as we can understand it, the relationship between the Son and the Father. The Son is begotten of the Father, and the Father begets the Son. And this week we're going to look at another term in the Creed, the word substance. Even though it only appears once, being of one substance with the Father. Because if the word begotten describes the differences between the Father and the Son, then the word substance describes their unity. It shows how there is only one God. But the first thing that I should say right away is that the word substance is not in the Bible. It is one of those words that I like to call a church word, a word like Trinity, a word that the church uses to describe something that the Bible says in a very shorthand way. So, of course, we have to ask the question then, well, what does the Creed mean when it uses the word substance? Well, I think it's best to first point out what it does not mean. Because we do occasionally use the word substance in everyday life. But we use it usually to describe a material of some kind. Like, for example, if we don't know what something is, like if we see a powder or something, we might say, what is this substance? Or you sometimes hear it used to describe harmful and especially illegal things like drugs. That's why you'll hear expressions like possession of controlled substances or even something like substance abuse. That's not what the Creed means when it uses the word substance. But rather, substance in this sense means what things have in common with each other, but what also makes them different from everything else. So let me use the example of people to show you what I mean. We all know that we are individuals. You and I are different from each other. And there's lots of things that make us different from one another. Some are men, some are women, some are tall, some are short. Some are old, some are young, and so forth. There could be any number of ways that we use to describe how we are all different from one another. And we also recognize that we are different from each other. I know that I am not you, and you know that you are not me. We are different people. But even despite our differences, we know that we do have something in common. Something which binds us together. We know that we are all human. So despite all of our individual differences, we know that we are people. And it is this common reality that we have with each other, that which makes us human, is what is meant by the word substance. But another part of understanding this is that this substance makes us different from all other things. So take the example of a dog. We know that there are lots of different kinds of dogs, right? There's many different kinds of breeds. And yet we recognize that there is something that they have in common. They are all dogs, and that's why we call them dogs. But we also know that a dog is not a cat. And no matter how similar an individual dog might look like an individual cat, we know that they are still different from one another. One is a cat, one is a dog. No matter how outwardly similar they look, they are different from each other. This is what the Bible calls according to their kinds. Like God created everything according to their kinds in the 6 days of creation. A dog is not a cat, a cat is not a dog. And likewise, we know that what makes us human makes us different from the animals. We are not like them. And so a man is not a dog, a cat is not a man, and so forth. We all have our own unique substance. That which we have in common with each other, but what makes us different from everything else. So the Creed uses the word substance in this sense to explain, at least partially, the truth about who God is. Because we know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all distinct persons. They're not the same. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and so forth. We know this from the Bible. But at the same time, we know that there is only one God. So what they have in common with each other, so to speak, is the divine substance. It is that which makes God to be God. And it is also what makes him different from all the rest of his creation. So we know that we are not God. We know that the world is not God. We know that the universe is not God. God is different from them all, because God has his own unique substance. He is different because he alone is God. But of course, we do have to be careful here, because we could end up misunderstanding who God is if we're not careful. When we use the word substance to describe anything in the creation, like people, for example, we're talking about something that doesn't actually exist. Right? We know that we have something in common, something that makes us all human, but it's not something that we can point to in the world and say, there it is. It's not like there's something over there called human that we can point to and say, that's what we all have in common. It is something abstract, something unreal. For a dog, for example, we know that a dog is a dog, but there's not something out there called dog that we can point to and say, that's what it means to be a dog. We know what we mean when we talk about being human or having a unique substance, but it's not something that exists in a concrete way. We can only talk about the individuals and the differences that we have between each other. But when we're talking about God, there's not a fourth thing called God that the three persons have in Trinity, that the three persons in Trinity have in common. That would make them so different from each other, they might as well be three different gods. And if that's the case, the Bible completely rejects it. No, God's substance is himself. He is the only one. This is who he is in himself, because he alone and nothing else is the Lord. Now, I recognize that this is all very difficult. It's all very dense. But perhaps the best way to understand it is, as with many things, to just listen to what the Bible says. And that's what we see happening in our reading for tonight. Jesus in John chapter 10 is talking to the Jews, and they are demanding to know if he is in fact the Christ. And he points them to his works, and he says, if you're not going to believe what I say, at least believe the works. They will show who I actually am. They will give you the answer to your question. But then Jesus says a very remarkable thing. Verse 30. I and the Father are one. Even though Jesus doesn't use the word substance, he describes perfectly in that short, memorable little verse everything that we've been talking about. Because you see there, he says, I and the Father. There's a difference between them. That little word and makes all the difference here. Jesus does not say, I am the Father. He says, I and the Father. They're distinct from one another. And yet he goes on to say, I and the Father are one. Not just one in purpose, not just one in will, although they are those things too, but one in reality. They are distinct from each other, and yet there is only one God. And the Jews, to their credit, understand perfectly what Jesus means when he says this. They prepare to stone him, and they say in verse 33, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." They understood perfectly well that by saying, "I and the Father are one," Jesus was saying, "I am God." Not a God, but the God, the eternal Son of the Father, one with the Father from eternity. So even though Jesus doesn't use the word substance, he shows us what it means in this way. And of course, Christians, at this point, we have to ask, just like we did last week, so what? What does it matter? Why should we hold on to this word? Why do we say all this anyway? Well, the answer is also the same as last week. Because if Jesus is not fully God, if he is not one with the Father, then we cannot be saved. Because if we say that the Father and the Son have different substances, if they have nothing in common whatsoever, then we have no salvation. There's no hope for us at all, because then we do not have a Savior who can save us from our sins. And even if we say that the Father and the Son are similar to each other, that they're just like each other, Jesus is still not God in that case. And if Jesus is not God, then we cannot be saved. But Jesus does not say, "I and the Father are two." And Jesus does not say, "I and the Father are like each other." He says, "I and the Father are one." And because they are one, Christians, salvation is now ours through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says in verse 28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." They are one in substance, because they are God, both now and forever. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has given your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, help us to follow after him wherever he would have us go, so that we may glorify you both now and in eternity. In his name we pray. Amen.